Appreciate the prayer. Ask an interest in your prayers for myself and Elder Abernathy as he comes before us later. You know, this time of year, when so many minds are on a particular subject, sometimes I have the hesitation or the temptation to shy away from it, and there's other times when I feel like, you know, it's our turn. It's an opportunity to speak the truth in the midst of a nation where there's so much that's not true about what's being proclaimed. You know, there's so many that would say that Jesus was born into this world, that whoever would believe and accept him as their Savior could be saved. Well, bless your hearts. Truth of the matter is, he shall save his people from their sins. You know, there used to be a bumper sticker that, and I guess it's still around, there's some variations of it, but I remember the saying was, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, if God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. And so let's turn to the Word of God for a few minutes and notice, I want to go to John. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. Does John talk about the birth of Christ? Well, give me a minute. John chapter 1. As John is relating to us how that the Word, capital W, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That little parenthetical expression there, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. I want to emphasize that. Lord, we bless us for a little bit. The only begotten of the Father. That tells us his birth is different than any other. When you go to the scriptures, you'll find that Matthew speaks extensively, if you will, of the birth of Christ. And Luke, the physician, one eminently qualified to speak to us about the birth of Christ, details it. You know, God's good, isn't he? I mean, he called a physician to tell us about the miraculous birth of Christ. Mark doesn't touch on it, but right here, when John says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. When you pause and consider the only begotten of the Father. Bless your hearts, when you dig into that, you'll find it had to be born of the Holy Ghost. He had to be born of the Virgin. See, Job had said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? The answer is, not one. Jesus had to be born the way he was in order to fulfill God's will. When we stop and think about all that is said to us, see, there's these two essential truths. The deity of Christ, that Jesus is God, and that he's virgin born. That means, oh, he had to be that way so that he could be a fit sacrifice for sin, so that he could be free from sin. As Hebrews says, he's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. It was God's purpose from the foundation of the world to send his Son to this world to save us from our sins. I've mentioned to you a number of times, back in the early 90s, I think it was, D. James Kennedy from Coral Ridge Ministries in Florida commissioned a study, or that group commissioned a study of seminary graduates. And their results were astounding, that 90% of seminary graduates in this country at that time who responded to this survey did not believe in the deity of Christ, and they did not believe in the virgin birth. Well, what do we have if that's not true? If he's not virgin born, if he's not God manifest in the flesh, what do we have? We just have another man. We don't have a Savior. Oh, as we think about God and his word, how it's designed. So let's just notice very briefly in Matthew, when it was found that Mary was with child, and Joseph was minded to put her away privately. Remember that? Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How much plainer could it be? And then he goes on to say, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, what prophet? Which one? Isaiah. Isaiah 7:14, by the way. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isaiah didn't call his name Jesus. Said his name should be called Emmanuel. God with us. He is God. All right? And he's born of a virgin. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Isaiah 7:14, where he says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now, when the Lord gives a sign, it's a sign. You know, I understand, I don't spend any time reading other versions of the Bible, but I understand that some of them say a young woman, back in Isaiah 7:14, a young woman shall conceive. Well, the Lord said, I'll give you a sign. A young woman conceiving happens all the time. But he said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. And what I just read to you from Matthew is, that means God with us. Bless your hearts. In a day when so many of our young people, and older as well, seem to be turning away from the faith, turning away from the truth. Bless your hearts. And if we can hear almost 30 years ago that a study said that seminary graduates, 90% of them, did not believe in the virgin birth, did not believe in the deity of Christ. What does that say of what people are being taught in this nation concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, bless your hearts. These two truths. Oh, there's so much more, but these two truths, the virgin birth and the deity of Christ, bless your hearts, these are essential to understanding who Jesus is. John said, we beheld his glory. Now, what John was referring to wasn't the birth of Christ, but it was that time that Jesus took James, Peter, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus was transfigured before them. And Moses and Elijah appeared with him in glory. In other words, to behold them was a glorious sight. His raiment became white and glistering. So they were glorious in their appearance. James, Peter, and John were there to behold that. And I won't get into the Mount of Transfiguration, but that's what happened there. And that's what John's referring to here. Don't you know he carried that with him throughout his life? To see the Lord glorified before he even went to the cross? But again, attached with that, Luke tells us that Moses and Elias appeared with him in glory. And they spake with him. Now, Matthew says they spake with him. And Luke tells us what they were talking about. You know, anytime I hear them talking, or hear of the Lord speaking with someone, I want to know what he's saying. And Luke told us that they spake with him of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Brethren, there's total victory there. Some may look at the cross and see a picture of defeat. But bless your hearts, there's total victory there. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, Peter said, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Those Jews did exactly what they wanted. But at the same time, God's purpose was being fulfilled. He was delivered into their hands so that he could fulfill truth. It had already been prophesied in Psalm 22, they pierced my hands and my feet. That was a picture of Roman crucifixion. It had to happen because God said it would. Psalm 22 begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? David, Psalm 22:1, that's what that says. But Jesus wasn't quoting David. David was speaking by inspiration what Jesus would say on the cross, because he came to save his people from their sins. And in order for him to do that, he had to be virgin born so he could be free from sin. He had to be God manifest in the flesh. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which is sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. You know, those that know me, you know I love that verse. Well, those couple of verses right there. Because it's just so, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. God sent his son. He came down from heaven. So I'm not sure what the word is. It's so irritating for people to present the Lord Jesus Christ as if he's a plan B. As if he's trying to do everything he can, or tried to do everything he can. Now it's up to you to get it done. No. John said, we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what John says about that occasion. Peter carried that vision with him for the rest of his life as well. Turn with me very quickly here as we close out to 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. John said we beheld his glory. Peter says we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Peter's referring to that occasion on the Mount of Transfiguration when they saw him in his glory. Oh, bless your hearts as we think about what John has told us what Peter referred to, the glory of Christ. And I'm satisfied James, had he not been beheaded, had his ministry been suffered to continue, I'm sure he would have reminded us of it. That's my persuasion. I'm speculating here, but that's my persuasion. He would have reminded us of that as well. Because as glorious as the birth of our Savior was, the glory of it is he came to save us. He's virgin born. He's the only begotten of the Father to fulfill the will of the Father and saving us from our sins. No wonder the angels, no wonder the shepherds heard the angels say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." The only peace we can ever find with God is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Simeon would look at that little baby, 8 days old, and say, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Amen. And no wonder the wise men would say, "Where is he born, King of the Jews?" He was born a Savior. He lived a Savior. He died a Savior. He rose again a Savior. And we rejoice that we're blessed to know him, the one true and living God, and Jesus Christ, his Son, who we trust is our Redeemer. At every mention of his name, may God bless us to remember, yes, he was born, but why was he born? To save us from our sins. May God bless you. Brother Abernathy, would you come ahead?